for an identical product. Not applicable to Walmart.com. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
When I heard Wells Fargo was giving their customers a free credit score, I figured I'd stop in.
It's part of our limited-time promotion. We'll give you a personal access code so you can obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. We can also talk about your credit score and how it impacts you.
Good to know.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012, and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
Saturday, Saturday, yeah. Salad on Saturday, fruit on Friday, bubble blow Thursday, water bottle Wednesday, touch your toes Tuesday, let's move Monday, swap us next Sunday.
All the healthy children eat well and move a lot, and move a lot, and move a lot, eat well and move a lot.
60 minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, freeze tag Friday, tap dance Thursday. Home greens Wednesday, try a veggie Tuesday. Let's move Monday, split the sweet Sunday.
Eat well and move a lot.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Other talk stations use words like savage. Sounds brutal. Hey, it's all good. Your superstation, AM 1050, News Talk KCAA.
We're here. Are you? Azunia Studios, Tybel, Holtis. This is Edge.
I'm going to tell you a story. That little man, he lived his life on the edge, in the garbage can. And then he met that woman, she's gonna tear him apart. He needs a brand new life, needs a brand new start. Do it.
You're on, guys.
Folks, welcome to the Edge Factor. I'm Ryan Dybel. This is Jim Holtis.
Wait,
we welcome you all today.
You already screwed me up in the head. I'm Ryan Dybel. You're Jim Holtis.
This is true.
Heads are on backwards already.
Heads are going to roll.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good, man. How you doing?
Good. Trucking through another great week. Great week in paradise. Good to be above ground, as always.
You know, always beautiful and thankful, and, man, good place to be. Gonna starting to cool down a little bit. Can feel that winter starting to come.
Fall is
snow,
in here.
Desert season, all that cool stuff. Supercross going to be starting again.
I think all the IE is extra happy about that. And things are cooling down a little bit. It's been over triple digits for about forever. I mean, last time really they got to cool down. So it was great. I was actually out in Chino Hills a little bit yesterday. And walked outside the door, saw nice cloud formation. I'm not burning my eyebrows just walking out into cyberspace here. But it was great. I was super excited to be a part of it and have fall come through, man. It's sweet. Although the great part is the water's still warm and there were still little waves. Took my daughter surfing up at Blackie's this weekend with my little nephew.
How's she doing with that?
She's great. We did a full impromptu sleepover, stayed the night at my brother and sister-in-law's in Corona Del Mar, and watched some sports, took our kids out for donuts and took them surfing in the morning. No wetsuits. Water was great. Everything was fun. And I actually ended up staying into Sunday night, because they have Time Warner Cable, so I could watch the Lake Show. I'm one of the few people that I know that got to watch opening preseason game of the Los Angeles Lakers, and got to see some good basketball going on, and see Steve Nash on the floor, along with Kobe. That little combo, for like first two or three plays, goes to through the legs pass. It was pretty sweet. Everybody has to live vicariously through me. Actually, I don't even have Time Warner Cable. my brother-in-law did, so I went up, posted in his TV dungeon he's got downstairs with a big old 65-inch plasma.
Nice.
And tuned into the Lakers. So I was pretty excited to be able to see it. They're playing again tonight, although nobody could watch it. You know, most anybody who doesn't have Time Warner Cable, not DirecTV, not Cox, not anything.
Well, you know me, I'm a hater. I'd pay to not have Time Warner Cable at that point, but that's okay. it's all good.
It'll get figured out, but I did learn that there's a lot of websites, pirate websites, that are streaming the game live. So if you haven't figured it out yet and you're listening in, on your way home from that 9-to-5 or that you're beating your forehead against every single damn day, get home and start perusing around the internet. I think Justin.tv is one of the websites that may offer some of the live streaming of the
Well, that's game. It's individual streamers on Justin.tv is like a Ustream, and until they bust them, and then they'll shut it down or whatever. But same thing with the UFC and the Chargers games. You know, Dana White's always out there looking for the Pirates and shutting them down. So
well, the people have spoken, and they want to watch the Late Show. That's what really matters.
You know, I was up last couple days making some cool TV in your neck of the woods up there in Dana Point for some Torque, Traxxas Torque series. It just debuted our first show this last Saturday on Speed and Fuel. So I tell everybody to watch your local listings and see when that plays. It's turned out to be a really good deal.
That's right. If you cannot, you absolutely...
Not because of me, by any
if
means.
If you absolutely cannot get enough Jim Holtis, you got to watch the Traxxas Torque series.
No, you want to turn me off.
And get yourself a nice big earful. That continues to go on. But speaking about what's going on in the news today, man? What are your two bits? I got a couple here.
Well, you know, I got a couple things bothering me.
Oh, yeah?
Same thing that happens, you know, once in a while. One of them, street bikes, once again, pissed me off on the way up here today. Crotch Rockets, going to ban them, going to get rid of them. So we'll do what we can, go all the way up to the federal government and have them removed from the state here. No. And the other one, dude, big letdown, Five Guys Burgers.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah, very familiar.
Have you eaten there?
There's one up the street. I have, and I'm not that impressed.
No, I wasn't either.
You think with five
guys...
Me and
my two little ones, the $35 bill, I wasn't too stoked on it.
It's not that...
I'll take him for steak next time.
You couldn't even go animal style there, huh?
No.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed. Like, they hand you a burger and a piece of tinfoil, a wrapper. I was like, what's the big deal here, man? I wasn't too thrilled with how Five Guys ended up for me, that's for sure. But, yeah, I was kind of bummed. Also... What's up with these damn gas prices? Tell me about what's going on with the gas prices.
Oh, the big thing today, it went down an eighth of a cent. How you raise it 30 cents overnight, but when it goes down, it's got to be part of a cent? What a bunch of crooks. Should be punishable by prosecution because it's no more ripping or less ripping people off than holding a gun to your head and taking your car.
And trust me, when I'm rolling up in the Stadium Nissan Titan, and things all jacked up on 38s, every single mile counts. And I was breaking it down to, I think I was paying a dollar for every two and a half miles I get in my truck. I'm like, son of a gun. So that's why you see the wife's Maxima outside, because I really don't feel like sucking gas that hard in that thing. But, yeah, gas prices were killing me. I saw a little tidbit in the news. Lance Armstrong, you know, he's been fighting the steroid charges forever and ever.
All his boys are narking him now.
11 of his past teammates have gone against him and narked him out. I mean, I'm all for steroids in sports. I mean, I want these guys to be. If I'm paying,
I want some now.
If I'm paying, I thought you had some actually. You're looking pretty full buff right now. But 11 of Lance Armstrong's former teammates turned on him and threw him underneath the bus. And that one nutted prince is just going to fall right off his throne because he is not making too many friends. But what else? Baseball playoffs. We want to talk about one ball in ball sports, as we're talking about Lance Armstrong. Ball sports going on right now. Orioles are playing the Yanks. Didn't see what the score was before I left to get here. But the earlier game, San Francisco beat down. Yep, that's NorCal beat down on the Cincinnati Reds. That was pretty cool to see that. I finally figured out how to get my simple mobile phone, my Samsung Galaxy S3 on simple mobile to be a Wi-Fi hotspot. That was pretty sick. I worked that out today. And, yeah, there's some other good news that's kind of coming up. We're going to tune in with Brandon right here on Breeze 3 about the all-new Hollywood hot sauce topics that are coming through. And I think she's got some tasty bits to go for us right now, so I'm pretty excited. Should we slide into Breeze 3 and
what's up?
Find out what Breeze up to?
Hey!
Hey!
What's going on?
What's going on?
Just freezing.
Really?
In here.
A bit nipply in here, huh?
Bit nipply.
So what's going on out in Hollywood land and the world of funness?
Oh, God, Lady Gaga. I got to talk about her.
Oh, God, Gaga? What's Gaga?
So she was in Spain performing, and she's on stage in front of thousands of people and viewers, and she throws up in the back of the stage. So she's throwing up, puts herself together, and then throws up again, puts herself back together. For the third time, she throws up again. Right on cue. Like, her, the very next step, whatever she was doing, she was right on cue. So at the end, she had tweeted, like, I hope no one saw, but I hope, you know, you guys got a good laugh out of it. But I just thought it was awesome because when I puke, I have to be by myself. I'm such a baby.
So that's a professional right there.
Like, professional.
Like, kept singing. Now, was it lip syncing if she was busting and puking, or was she actually puking and, like, singing hit notes?
Well, she would stop and then puke.
Really?
And then I don't really know what was going on in the background. People were probably dancing and covering for her.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty sweet. Actually, I've done that before on an announcing job I did, was calling it play-by-play and then throwing up in between.
Talking puke's always good.
That's what happens when you go out late the night before you're supposed to work. But, okay, that's pretty good. Good going, Gaga. Way to be a professional and follow through with it. I like that.
So, or is she just doing the scarf and barf for trying to change her program?
Jim, stop hating.
I'm not hating. I love the Gaga. I love the Gaga, you little monster.
No, I knew you were going to say that. I'm not a little monster. Anyway, so Taylor Swift, she's barking back at the media. People are claiming that she kidnapped her boyfriend. Put him on her private jet.
Really? She's so tough. I don't see how she
could have. Because he's young, you know, and they're in love. But
so what's young? How old is he?
I think he is 18. And she's 22.
Cradle robber Taylor Swift.
But yeah, supposedly she went to his high school and put him on her private jet and
really, so
went to Nashville.
They went to high school together. So she was obviously a senior when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
And he's basically claiming he tapped that, and now he's the senior. That's how epic is that bragging rights if basically you're rolling back to high school going, yeah, Taylor just, you know, she kidnapped me for the weekend. We went out, knocked it down a little bit. Good stuff.
That's gross.
That's gross. That's teenagers
so young,
right there.
No.
Oh,
I didn't
God.
Do that.
Get your head out
that.
Of the sand.
Did you guys do that when you were teenagers?
What's that?
Not Taylor Swift, but if I had that story, I tell you what, I'd be texting, Instagramming it, and showing every bro I could that what was going down on that plane.
Bro.
Oh, my God.
Bro.
Okay, so Linda Hogan, she gets a DUI last week.
Oh, I heard about
but
that.
But barely over the limit. She was .084. You know, and
what a ripoff!
It's sad. It sucks because we all have cocktails before we leave.
We're having them right now with Zunia tequila cocktails as we sit up here high on the perch at the Zunia Studios. Yep. So we're cocktailing out. Linda was cocktailing out.
Yeah.
She blew a .084.
Yes.
That is just too
well,
bad.
Well, she was at a jewelry event, had two glasses of champagne. The only reason why I'm talking about this is because she had hit me up like a few days before.
Yeah, she was going to be on her show, right?
Yeah. She was right before, I think like 3 days before her DUI. She was like, she had told me, you know, I'm sick. I'm at the emergency room. I'm on these antibiotics, blah, blah, blah. And the antibiotics made her alcohol level go up. And that's the only reason why I'm backing her up on this DUI thing is, it's the antibiotics.
That's what they do.
But everyone's blowing it out of proportion, saying she was drinking and was hammered and got a DUI because of Hogan's sex tape leak or whatever. But she had two glasses of bubbly.
Sex
Calm down, guys.
Leak. So you just crossed into it. Let's talk about this Hogan sex tape that's going on.
What are you
going
to do, brother?
Why don't we have Linda Hogan tell us when she's on the show?
Linda, we're waiting for you. We held it for you next week. I think a perfect time now to come talk about it.
Rebuttal. Let's find out what she can do to rebut this sex tape. Tell me, what has anybody seen the sex tape yet?
I don't think
so. Do you really
so.
Want to?
I'd like to see it because Hulk Hogan's like 6'6",
right?
There's
like still pictures of it.
He's a large human.
You're reaching out.
I'm just wondering if he's proportionally. I was wondering if he's proportionally endowed. You know, I always look at like guys like Dwight Howard and go.
You wonder.
Is he half donkey or something? What's going on with Dwight Howard? And I want to know what kind of woman he was going grabbing onto is Hulk Hogan. I'm not going to sit there for an hour, but I want to take a peek. You know?
Ryan, you've been here way too long.
I'm not.
Turn it off.
I'm not creepy, just curious. That sounds like a great T-shirt.
Oh, God.
I'm not creepy, just curious. All right, so Linda is going to snap out of it, pay herself some lawyer fee, pay herself some. But the thing is, she should hopefully, have enough money and her daughter and enough friends around her to drive while her license is suspended for a while, right?
Yeah, true. I think she'll be fine.
Hopefully we'll get her in here next week to figure it all out.
Yeah, we'll get a cab. We'll send her up and get a cab, have her come down. And then she could get on the Azunia Tequila with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Good job, everybody. Breeze three. Congratulations. Yay.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, hopefully we'll hear from her shortly. We'll keep you all posted regarding next week. But, hey, right now we're going to go take us a little break here. And we got a heck of a show lined up for you here. Supercross star Mike Alessi is going to join us here in just a second at 200 West. Well, they're going to be playing for us here all night long. This is just a little tease of what we're going to hear later. So, folks, hang on. We'll be right back. More Edge to go.
Ooh, yeah. The bar I believe in me, that's where we are this evening.
At General Tire, we make tires that can take on the elements and survive. Less than 1% of the earth is paved. Go attack the rest. General Tire. Anywhere is possible. Be sure to visit your local General Tire dealer for a complete line of General Tires.
I'm a little diver. I'm 6, and I'm going to list some facts on why you should buy your next car or truck for Stadium Nissan. Fact: Stadium Nissan is conveniently located next to Anaheim Stadium. Fact: spread of the entire staff will make your whole experience easy and hassle-free. Stadium Nissan will give you free car washes for life with any new car purchase. Fact: a tiger's my favorite animal. Fact: Stadium Nissan has an amazing inventory of new and pre-owned cars and trucks. Fact: my mommy really turns heads and her tricked-out Maxima. Fact: my daddy thinks he's tough and his lift is Titan. Fact: Stadium Nissan has a super easy website to go through with all the info that you could possibly ask for. So these are the facts. If you still have any questions, hit them up on the website for live chat. StadiumNissanOC.com. I said StadiumNissanOC.com. Simply better.
This is Trigger Gum, Daredevil. I'm always on the edge of disaster.
Out of waste. I know they really love me, but they're only problems that I know I had to face. So I drink just for the taste. That's another lie. I gotta try to...
All right, folks, welcome back to Edge 200 West, jamming in Azunia Studios. Hey, we're here. We're live. Jim and Ryan, for those of you that don't know, you are listening to The Edge Show. Make sure you go to our Facebook. Like us. Love us. Want some more of us.
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm thinking they should come up with a new button on Facebook besides like. I want
dislike, first of all.
That's not bad. I want lust. I want somebody to lust somebody.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Is that a possibility?
And possibly a hated it or something like that. But I'm just saying. I don't know. Going back to...
You'd think there'd be a hack by now that allows you to do all that kind of stuff. Speaking of hacks, I got onto my... I'm all into this droid now, Simple Mobile Droid, and there's all types of hacks that allow you to just do all sorts of crazy stuff. I'm getting all tech.
Are you liking it better or worse?
I'm liking it better as
really?
Of right now. Bigger screen, lighter, cooler stuff. I'm liking it better than my iPhone 4 on the Simple Mobile program. It's working pretty good. But, yeah, I think there's a lot to do, a lot more to go with it. But we got our guests online right now.
We do. Our first guest of the evening, our spotlight guest, Supercross star Mike Alessi, joining us via the telephone right now. I don't know if he's on his droid or his iPhone. We'll have to find out. But, Mike, you with us?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, man.
Solid.
How are you?
I'm doing good, just living the life, just been training, working hard, getting ready for that Monster Cup next week, and looking forward to it. $1 million up for grabs, and right now, anybody that can, you know, get the chance to go out there and possibly win, so trying my best to be the best prepared I can be.
So tell me, with the Monster Energy Cup coming up, I mean, obviously, huge Supercross season, huge outdoor season, but then everybody looks at the Monster. I mean, this is a legit thing now. It used to be just, you know, one-off, off-season specialty events, but you still got to have your game face on, you know, after the season, getting ready for these big events like Monster Cup here. Tell me how much this one particular event means to you and the rest of the racers.
Yeah, that's right, man. You have to go into that race, you know, just like you're going to the regular season, because at any point anybody can win. And like you said, it's a one-off race. So I think it's great for the fans and great for the riders.
Now, first of all, what are you calling us on, iPhone or Droid?
The iPhone. You can do everything on the iPhone.
Just had to find out. We're doing little polls here.
Yep.
Ryan just jumped the iPhone ship here and now exploring the Droid side of things after being such a big iPhone guy.
I was a huge iPhone guy.
To poll people.
Samsung Galaxy S3, I love it. It's I don't know. I should be getting paid by all of the hype I'm doing for them, but I'm not. But, I mean, I was iPhone guy long and hard and strong for a long time. You got an iPad, too, as well? You still stay connected with that?
No iPad. No, just the iPhone.
No iPad for the movies on the airplanes. That's what I'm going to go to.
He's got the iPad Nano. That's the iPhone. So
gotcha.
He's rocking with it.
So coming up to this thing here, Mike, before we go further into your career and what's going on for next year and all that kind of stuff, let's start with the Monster Energy Cup. Second year coming out now, Villopoto sweeps. There's several different races, and if the worlds collide in the right way, and you win all the right things, you can win that whole $1 million like he did last year.
$1 million.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool-looking trophy, a $1 million trophy. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, in order to win the race, you have to have a lot of things going in your favor with, obviously, good luck. You know, you have to win all three races, and that's not easy because you got the world's best riders that you're racing against. So at the end of the day, you got to have some really good luck. You have to have a good bike, good fitness, and you have to be really fast on this, you know, beginning laps to get away. So, and you got to be smart going through that joker lane, which is going to be tricky on the last lap that you have to hit. You never know. You know, you might get passed on that last lap trying to go through that joker lane.
And tell me about that a little bit more. Is that new for this year, or did they have that last year as well?
It's new for this year. It's a joker lane, and you have to hit it at least one time during the course of the race at least one time. And most riders have probably hit it, you know, during the middle to the end of the race. And it's a required item that you have to hit that lane at least one time in your race.
What's on the lane? Is there, like, a pool of Monster Energy drink you got to, like, ride through, or, you know, dancing midgets on top of a bridge? What makes it a joker lane especially?
I wish I knew, man. It's Vegas. You just never know what's going to be there. So it's be interesting to see what they put there as far as that joker lane is concerned. It should be something probably pretty technical or something adverse, you know, so to slow you down or leave something like that.
Now, they put together quite an interesting track last year. What other differences are there, the layout? I mean, some hints of supercross, some hints of motocross. What sort of hybrid? Is it similar to last year's?
I believe it's pretty similar to last year. It should be, pretty much identical. Just a few different sections would be a little bit different. And obviously that joker lane is the premier thing that's the most different. And it should be interesting to see how that turns out.
Now, you're a guy who's pretty much dominated. Well, I could have just ended it there, and yes, we'd have still been right.
he is a guy.
But you're a guy that's just been dominating the hole shots for quite a while. Like, first of all, what is your secret to that? I mean, it seems like you got them covered out of the gate.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of different things. I'm a good starter, a good technique, and a quick reaction is a big part of it. Being a little bit lighter than a lot of the riders is kind of it obviously helps. Being 150 pounds and just being quick reaction and just lots of repetition on practicing starts helps a lot. And I mean, pretty much it. That's really the secret, you know. It's just that I've been a good starter since I was a little kid, and just in my whole life, just a great starter.
I was thinking that extra number on his number plate would actually hold him down. That's one more number he's got to run with, so that would actually make him heavier, right?
Totally. Now, you said you're about 150.
Me too.
Yep. Yes, sir.
What would you say is the average weight of a supercross rider? Because I have no idea.
That's a tough question. It ranges from different rider to rider. Every rider is different, just like every individual and every person in the world is different. Not every one person is the same. It's hard to answer that question.
Like most jockeys aren't 185 pounds or whatever, you know, kind of built for the thing, and some of the smaller guys throwing those rigs around.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's a good analogy.
Well, hey, tell me this. I mean, obviously on the KTM bike, that's...
Are you still on KTM?
No, I'm on a Moto Concepts racing team.
That's right, the Moto Concepts.
Ah, I'll bounce around. Well, that just nullifies my last question. What do you think the difference is? I mean, with so many Supercross riders, I mean, your sponsorship, your equipment package changes up, obviously, just like right now, you know, so dramatically. And you've gone through a few different sponsors and bike and you know, different setups in your past. What can you say about your setup now, and how does it relate to, you know, what you've been on in the past?
I just think it's just more comfortable, you know, being with Moto Concepts. They treat me good, you know. They're behind me 100%, and I got a good foundation with the team, and the bike is great, and the mechanics are all great. So it's just, it's a really good family atmosphere for me, and I feel really comfortable on the bike, and it shows in my riding, and I think it's just, that's the biggest difference.
Now, fairly young guy. How old are you right now?
24.
It seems like you've been out here just like for a long while, but still a really young guy and coming up. And, you know, you had a lot of flashes of brilliance here, 2012 Supercross. What changes or I should say, well, we got a lot to get into here. Can you hang on for a minute? I want to get a little bit deeper into it.
Did you just interrupt yourself?
I just interrupted myself. I'd rather go to break and not have to short answer this, because we really want to dig into this last year and getting into next year, Supercross season as well. So if you can hang out with us just for a second to go to break, I'd love to come back and get into that more.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, well, we'll do that a lot more with Mike Alessi. Hang out. We're going to rock out. We'll be right back. Zuni Tequila Studios. Don't go away.
Yo, well, it's the same old thing, just a different eye. My wall is kind of empty, but I'm feeling all right. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to have to face
time. Last year in Las Vegas, Ryan Villopoto took home $1 million. Can he do it again this year? Monster Energy Cup, October 20th. $1 million is on the line again. But this time, there's an all-new trap to up their stakes that separates the athletes from the legends. It combines both Supercross and Motocross obstacles. With all this huge air and high speeds, you'll be hanging on to the edge of your seat. Plus, don't miss more of the top Supercross riders riding together in one class, including Dungey, Marcia, and Wyndham. You only have one chance to live. Get the best seats now at Thomas and Exeter Bar Service, UNLV Ticket Outlets. Charge at 702-739-FANS or online at unlvtickets.com. Tickets subject to convenience and handling charges. The Monster Energy Cup, October 20th, Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas. Rain or shine.
Travis Pastrana here from Nitro Circus, and I'm always on the edge.
Can't find myself in this hideaway. Well, this feeling's been coming on for several days. Don't you bring it back to me, but it's all the same. She makes you up in a way.
All right, folks, welcome back. 200 West rocking out live here in the Zuni Studios. Once again, Jim Holtis, Ryan Dival here. This is the Edge Show, and we're talking with our featured guest, Mike Alessi. Mike, you still with us?
I'm still here.
Cool, man. Appreciate that. Okay, let's get back down into it. Talk about 2012, man. You had some great flashes of brilliance, and I want to talk a little bit about your perspective on this last year's season before we talk about what we're going to look for in 2013 here coming up quick.
Yeah, 2012 was a breakthrough year for me. I feel like it was obviously a great year, finishing sixth in Supercross, my best Supercross finish that I've ever had. And then Motocross came through and just had an enjoyment season. You know, I just was riding good and battling Ryan Dungey almost every single race, and I finished second in the season and one of my best seasons ever riding a motorcycle, finishing sixth in Supercross and second in the motocross season was awesome.
I mean, and you had a couple of those races. I don't remember specifically which ones they were. You know, had a little hiccup toward later on in the race, but hanging up there close down to the very end, man, almost just laying it down. So you got to be pretty stoked with the way you performed a lot of times last year.
Extremely happy with the way I rode. Was fortunate enough to win a race at Washougal, which was awesome. And I got a lot of feedback from the fans and people on Twitter following me and Instagram. Just a lot of fans that were really, really excited and pumped that, that I won that race, and a lot of, you know, good comments back from the fans. So it was great to see, and you know, looking forward to another season in 2013, and hopefully have some more, you know, success and doing good.
Hey, tell me, I mean, with that win, obviously, that, like you said, that's breakthrough. But tell me, you know, you're 24. You're still a kid, even though you're a veteran in Supercross. What did you learn? You know, you still got some of the big boys. It was a huge player year from the beginning with, you know, with Reed and Bubba and Dungy and Ryan and all the, you know, the top deck players. And you're creeping up into, you know, the top tier on that. What did you learn that's really going to push you as a consistent podium finisher?
I believe the biggest thing was the you have to be calm and relaxed and patient, because in the Supercross, you know, anybody can get hurt. And it seemed like last year that's what ended up happening. And you had to be smart and know when to take those risks and know when to back off and say, hey, you know what, this is too gnarly, this is too big of a section. I'm not going to risk getting injured and not being able to race the next weekend. And I think that's the biggest thing I learned was to be consistent and be smart about my riding and my decision making as a professional athlete, and making sure that I was going to be at the next race the next weekend. And I think that's the biggest point.
Pretty much opposite Bubba thinking. doing the opposite of how he goes.
I don't think that's a bad idea. Hey, well, what do you think about the talent pool that you're going to be riding out there with as far as the Supercross season? Last year started out with, gosh, maybe the deepest ever, and then a lot of injuries. I mean, is Trey better? Is he coming back? Are all those guys ready to shoot off here again? And how do you feel about that?
I think it's awesome. I think it's great for the fans. It's great for the riders. It's great for everybody involved that the riders are back. And it's going to be a stacked field. It's going to make the excitement level at an all-time high. And ultimately, that's what the fans need, is they need to be excited about racing again, because last year a lot of guys got hurt, and it kind of took away that excitement level. So it should be interesting with all the new rookies coming up. And, you know, we wish them the best of luck and see what happens. Should be a great season for sure.
I was just going to say that, and then each year on top of that, you got two young guns probably coming up who turned out being in contention a few times during their rookie year in the 450 Supercross class right off the gate too. So adding to that, yet a couple more even.
Yeah, we got Barsha, we got Wilson, and a couple of the new rookies coming up. It should be interesting. And, you know, the kids that are coming up in the lights class that are going really fast, like Blake Baggett and Eli Tomek, you know, we got some more rookies that are, you know, they're coming up. They'll be there in the next year or two. And, you know, it's going to make racing even harder and more exciting and to see the racing and not know who's going to win. And that's what makes Supercross, you know, it's so entertaining.
Yeah, as a Supercross fan, you got to love that. I mean, it's one thing you're trying to win races, but as a fan, you got to love watching that. But, hey, I had a quick question for you. I mean, obviously, you touched on it a second ago, how important, you know, staying healthy is part of riding. And with all the injuries that go on, you just got to kind of expect it. What was your probably, you know, greatest injury so far, and how does that play into your head as you continue to ride?
I would say the worst injury was my knee. You know, it took me, you know, a good 6 months to come back from that and be 100% again. And ultimately, since 2009 till right now, it's taken that long to have a good season again, because I haven't felt, obviously, 100% since that injury back in 2009. So I would say it was probably my significant injury and the worst one that I had.
I mean, I know, I mean, I've ridden a couple, you know, smaller amateur races and stuff, and when some of these ruts get to the way they are, it scares the bejesus out of me, you know. Just, I don't even want to go through it and say, it's not worth it for me. Of course, I'm 38, I got a family and a kid to worry about, but even at 24, flying like a bat out of hell, when you're coming up at the triple and you see, you know, foot and a half deep ruts just lined up, and you know you got to hit that, you know, pretty pinned to make that triple and a chance to win that race. Do you still get butterflies from that, or are you just, you know, a cool cat now that it doesn't even faze you?
Hey, I mean, in any rider, you have to have that excitement, butterfly feeling. If you don't, there's something wrong with you, because when you're riding in front of, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 fans, you know, it's so exciting that you have to have those butterflies. Otherwise, you know, there's something not right with you if you don't get too excited about that many people being at a race. And like you said, coming up to a triple, you know, when you see those ruts, it's like you got to make sure you hit the right line, and you got to be precise and calculated lap after lap, and knowing that the rut is going to change. The ruts are going to be different. Yes. The next lap, they could be deeper. So you have to be aware of always changing your line.
It's not even going to be the same next lap.
That's
when you come to. I mean, that's the thing that I trip out on it because I know just enough to know how gnarly
and
it is.
And no pressure, but we're all counting on you, us 50,000. So don't worry about
and
it.
And your sponsor, and your family, and your wife, and everything else going
now,
on.
Now, speaking of that, you are married, correct?
Yes, I am.
Any kids yet?
No kids. Not till career is over, done racing. It's be a while, probably at least 5 or 6 years till that. That road, we crossed that path.
That was a pretty firm answer. I was going to try and bait him in. Anything you want to announce here on the show? But
there's no doubt about that.
You seem pretty firm in keeping the kid card in the back pocket for a little while now.
Now, what type of track is your favorite? I know you've been on record as saying types like Indy, stuff like that, some of your favorites. What are the type of features that you specifically like in a track?
Well, when you go to the different supercrosses, every single track is different with the dirt and the way the design of the track is built. Every single race is different. I would say that probably the most unique track or the most unique dirt that I prefer on the whole season would probably be somewhere around Indianapolis. They have really good dirt texture, and they seem to make that dirt really, really well there. There's a good fan base, too, and I like that stadium.
Tell me if there was something in motocross or supercross that you feel, you're going to be commissioner for the day and you get to change and make any type of modification to any part in racing, in the equipment, in the track, what were your one or two things that you'd put on the top of your list that you would modify or change?
I wouldn't change anything. There's nothing to change, and that's what's unique and exciting supercross is that you don't know what's going to happen, and I think that ultimately, that's what makes racing and supercross in general so exciting because when you go to the races, you don't know who's going to win. You don't know what the obstacles are going to look like. You don't know how the dirt's going to form. The ruts are going to change. I think that that's what makes it so intriguing and exciting to be a supercross fan is that you just never know what's going to happen. And I think that's awesome about supercross.
I was going to say shark tanks with laser beams. I think the triple should have that underneath. You got to jump over like Fonzie over the sharks. But that's just me. That's what I
You know, it's funny. I was going to reference that. The jump the shark is the reference of like a career ender for a lot of these TV shows. Hey, we got an idea. Why don't we have the Fonz jump the shark? How'd that work for you? Cool. Hey, how many hole shots have you had in Supercross? Do you know?
Well, are you talking about this year or you mean in my whole career?
Career.
I have no idea. There's been a lot. sure.
What would you say? First of all, what is your fitness, your workout routine, and what would you say the next step is to be able to hold that into more podiums, wins? Is it a fitness thing? Is it just a learning curve? What do you got to do to take it to the next level?
Well, in order to take it to the next level, you have to have that ability to take it to that next level and if it's even worth going to that next level because that next level could be just maybe too far or too big, in order to get there. And for a lot of riders, it's just not possible. In order to go to that next level, you have to risk pretty much your life. And
yeah,
I'm not willing to risk my life to try and win a race.
I guess what I mean
like
is you've shown that you could totally, as fast, if not faster than all those guys at times, and hang with every single one of them, just hold them off, for the whole rest of the thing. Is the fitness thing a big deal? What's your regiment like?
Well, I mean, I do a lot of running and bicycling and swimming and different stuff like that. But in Supercross, it's more about raising that intensity. To be able to ride at that intensity, you have to have good preparation during the week. Within your riding and your training on your bicycle and your running, you have to be able to ride at such a high heart rate that most riders, they just can't do it. And you have to ride at that heart rate max, which is probably somewhere around 180, 190. Close enough to even 200, topping 200 on your heart rate in order to ride at that level. And most of the riders can't do it. And I think that's the biggest difference between...
See, that's something I would have no idea.
Getting your heart rate to 200?
No, I mean,
I agree.
as to why, and why can't other riders do that when a lot of the guys, show flashes whatever. But, I mean, you've definitely come on leaps and bounds, in my opinion, this last year. And again, you got to be super stoked coming out, not only for this Monster Cup, which is kind of a different animal. I mean, last year you had guys, hey, what's the big draw? This isn't part of the points. You're going to race outdoor. You want to race Supercross again. Obviously, injuries riddled a lot of the field. But what's the big draw, obviously? $1 billion. But then you get towards the end, and a guy like Chad Reed ended up not racing it and was not injured.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, I mean, it's about that money at the Monster Cup. I mean, if anybody rider who tells you that it's not about the money for the Monster Cup, that $1 million, and there's
right.
nothing wrong with them, they're lying to you straight in your face. But
for that event.
Well, it is for sure. For a lot of riders, it's about the money. But for me, it's not about the money. It's about, for me, what I'm taking away from the race is to see and to compare how much I've learned from as a rider standpoint from last year Monster Cup to this year Monster Cup. I want to see the difference in my bike. I would like to see the difference in my maturity as a rider. I would like to see the difference in my fitness. And obviously, the biggest thing is I want to see the difference in Mike Alessi from 12 months ago to 12 months now. You see the difference in my whole persona, in my bike, team, mental, my physical. I just would like to see the difference. And that's what I'm gauging this race off of, not about the money and winning $1 million. I mean, that's all nice. That's a great, aspect of it. But if there's more to it, then I'm, going there for a reason. I'm going there to see the difference in what I've learned in my program from last year to this year. That's the main thing.
Dude, that's a great answer, and
hey.
Man, you got a good head on your shoulders, Mike. And,
yeah, you could give me that million since it's not a big deal to you, dude.
Now that when you measure up and you get up there on the podium and win one of them, if not all of them, the money's okay though.
Yeah, I mean, like
you're
I
right
said,
with
it's
that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you're racing for money, then that's not right. You know, you're racing for all the wrong
right.
reasons. You should race for the pure love of racing the motorcycle. And to enjoy it. That's why we all started riding motocross or motorcycles in the first place, is because it's fun. It's enjoyable. And
yeah, everyone who rides a motorcycle isn't doing it to cash the check or think it can go into career, but do we all have bikes in our garage? Yeah, absolutely.
And you all got started in the same reason, because it was fun. You enjoyed it. And I think that any rider who doesn't find it fun anymore and they're racing for a paycheck or racing for money, then they're racing for all of the wrong reasons.
Well, Mike, I love the answers, and we got running out of time here, and I got a couple quick offbeat questions for you here real quick. What does Mike Alessi do when he's not training or racing? How do you relax? What do you do to have fun on the side?
That's the perfect answer. It's just like today, going and taking my wife to see Finding Nemo 3D. I mean, just something as simple as that, going to the movies and taking my wife out to a nice dinner, or going out to lunch or something like that, or going to the movies. That's what I enjoy.
Good answer. Good man. What music do you listen to? What do you like to
what pumps you up?
I listen to country. If you knew me or knew
nice.
Who I was, and being from Florida, if you don't bump country in Florida where I live in Hilliard, it's just it's something just not right with you, because that's the only thing that's accepted is country where I live in Florida, and I love country.
You got a gun rack on your truck?
Man, this guy's going up notches in my book by the second.
Hey, he's 24. You can't date him, all right, Jim? Come on.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for coming and talking to us, man. Stoked to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Big fan, man. Like the way you think. Like what you have to say. And, man, we miss you. Wish you the best luck, not only at the Monster Cup, but in the 2013 season. And we'll be up there, and we'll see you at A1, and we'll have to come say hi.
Thank you guys again, and all the fans who are listening. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MLSD800. All you got to do is just push that button and push the follow button, and you'll be set to go. So thanks again to you guys and all the many fans. I appreciate it.
You got it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Alessi, go push those buttons. Well, hey, we're going to take us another little break. 200 West going to play us out when we come back. Man, they're going to rock a whole song for us, and you guys are going to dig it, because we got a chance to hear it before. So hang out. We'll be right back on The Edge.
Yeah, I could do it like this. Yeah, whatever this is, I can be your secret. Because I'm a half-hearted fan of doing what I can for whatever we say.
At General Tire, we make tires that can take on the elements and survive. Less than 1% of the earth is paved.
go attack the rest. General Tire. Anywhere is possible. Be sure to visit your local General Tire dealer for a complete line of General Tires.
Hey, this is Rick Dale with Rick's Restorations, and I'm on the edge.
You're on, guys.
All right, folks, welcome back to Edge. Well, we're here, 200 West. We're going to play a feature song right now, and this is called, guys, Fair is Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, 200 West.
It's something there. Feels like a question that's been asked when the tracks are on. What's fair is fair. I'm only looking at the time when I'm halfway gone. It's not there. Making decisions to make or break the situation. Feeling wrong for so long that there's no more hint of hesitation. I got my mind made up, there's nothing more that you can say. So just let me hang up this phone and get back to ride alone.
Isn't feeling so vain, yeah. They're on the other side, you know I can't forget myself. All the other stuff I can live. On the other side, you know I can't get back into myself. All the other stuff I can live without.
Told myself that I would never let this get the best of me. Told myself that I would never let this get the best of me. I told myself that I would never do the things that I've been doing. I told myself that I would never let this get the best of me. I told myself that I would never let this get the best of me. I told myself that I would never do the things that I've been doing. Doing on the other side.
Gentlemen, 200 West, Fair is Fair. Great song, guys. Thanks so much for coming on here to the Edge Show. Great job.
Right on. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
So who all we got in the band here? 200 West.
What's up? My name's Chris. I sing and play guitar.
I'm John. I sing.
I'm Adam, and I play drums.
And I'm Greg. I play bass.
Greg plays bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, Greg plays bass. I just want to let you all know that.
And Al is John on the tambourine as well. He can't more than just singing. He's got some mean...
And, dude, the drum box is smoking, man. That thing's awesome.
Thank you.
That's great. Hey, great job, guys. First of all, how long has your band been together?
We've been together for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. We've got a full-length album out called The Season that's kind of old. That was our first full-length, and going in, recording a new one right now, so we're excited. Super stoked to be pushing on and moving forward as a band.
So we talk. I ask this question to all our, you know, musician band buddies who come on the show. Is, you know, as the times change and people are more into direct release and you know, recording themselves and independent productions and stuff like that, what's your strategy on getting your music out there? Is it something that, you know, you just want the golden record label ticket, or are you focused on, you know, just trying to get your music out in any way, shape, or form, fashion?
We're realistic guys and very humble, down to earth. I mean, we just want to make a living off of it and just play music for people. I mean, we know we're kind of a baby band, but we keep pushing. We just want to push ourselves as musicians and as people, and whatever we can do to support ourselves with our music is what we want to do. Yeah. I think we've just, I mean, it's really a cliche answer, but we want to do it for the music. But it's really cool, though, because I think it's also, too, it's as we grow as people, I think our music grows, too. I mean, we have an album that's only a year and a half old, but already, I mean, after touring and doing, you know, a bunch of shows and just playing together, you know, the styles change along with our personality and our personal lives, and I think that comes through in the music, and I think that's what keeps us pushing on as musicians and as people.
How would you describe the type of music that you play, I guess?
We like to call it Cali rock. It's like California rock.
I like
different,
it.
Different, you know, influences of, you know, that's reggae eclectic, music, yeah. Hip-hop.
Definitely heard the reggae switch back and forth there.
A lot of different things.
And we just have a lot of, I mean, these guys, like, we all have different influences. I think it comes through.
What are your influences?
I want each of you four to tell us one, your main big influence that started you out.
Besides O.C. Kush.
Right on.
That's going to be mine.
I'm very old school guy, like America, like Fleetwood Mac, a lot of old school stuff, like folk music.
Sublime's my favorite band. So.
For me, it started off as The Police, and it evolved into more recent stuff like Incubus and 311.
Nice.
I'm a Hendrix guy, The Beatles, you know, Led Zeppelin kind of thing.
Yeah, so we just kind of mash it up and see what happens.
Quite a mix there.
Yeah. Well, it's not that far off. They're all guitars and, you know.
We're a full band.
Kind of most songs are guitars and melodies.
No, I mean,
sometimes you'll have drums and a bass.
Who's our band coming in here in 2 weeks? It's about how hard you thrash and crash and smash.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit mellower than
we're
that.
Pretty
even.
Much the opposite of that.
Yeah. I mean, we get down a little heavier like on our full band stuff, but we have a new acoustic EP coming out this Friday that we just were like trying to show you guys some new songs that are coming off of it.
Very cool. So is that a new song that's not even released yet? Or?
It's released in terms of a full band. Like, it's off of our recent EP called The Metropolitan Sessions, but we redid a bunch of songs. We got a new EP coming out for free. If you go to our website, it's www.200westmusic.com. You can download the entire thing for free, and it's just an acoustic thing like what we're doing here. We just did it in a couple days, and ran through an acoustic session.
And this is a full-time deal for you guys. This is what you do. You tour as a band. That's what you do for a living.
Yes, that's all we do. Music, that's it.
Day to day, yeah.
That's great. I mean, so many people coming up trying to do that on the side, yet grow that.
Yeah.
When it's a full-time deal in itself to try to take it to new levels.
It has to be full-time. Yeah. It really
is. If you're going to tour and whatnot, you got to be able to pack it in, live out that bag, and really just spend as much time as you can.
We literally dropped everything.
What'd you guys do before?
Just work daytime jobs.
School,
went to school,
jobs, family.
And we got a...
Screw family.
I went to college, and then I graduated, and I was like, I'm out of here doing music.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
What diploma did you actually get to do the dropout
in? Well, honestly, a lot of it had to do with, like, I think I've always wanted to do music. Or I think a lot of it had to do with, actually, John was living with me my senior year in college.
In his dorm room.
Yeah, and we actually came up with, like, a lot of the songs off our first album, and I was just kind of like, dang, why did I go to college for 4 years? But, I mean, I guess it worked out.
To meet John!
Yeah.
Well, they've been best friends since childhood.
Oh, have you guys?
Yeah,
since, like, sixth grade. And that's my little brother. Yeah.
And where are you guys out of?
The Inland Empire, like Rancho Cucamonga.
Okay,
Montana,
so all local here in Southern
kids.
California.
Yes.
Cali. Now, what sort of big events you got coming up that we'd like to know about?
Friday, we're actually having a show at the Roxy. Nice. Show starts at 11.
Very
it's
cool.
Actually for my birthday. I'm turning 22.
Nice. So for his birthday.
And we're also releasing the free acoustic EP that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Sick.
So yeah, CD release party / birthday party at the Roxy.
Very
Friday
cool.
night, 11 o'clock.
And is there a certain website or one of your first of all, tell everyone your viral media. Where can they find out where you're going to be touring, what kind of music's coming out, where they can get it?
You can find everything at our website. It's 200westmusic.com. That's 200westmusic.com. You find everything there.
Yeah,
everything there.
And we're also
I kind of know some WordPress, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah,
it's a whole header full of stuff you can click. I clicked it. I liked it all.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So to make it easier for the fans.
If you weren't turning 22, that you guys wouldn't be playing that Roxy show, right? That's specifically for that.
Yeah, event. It was just for that.
You know what? No, actually, that show had just happened coincidentally, landed on my birthday, and I was like, okay, well, let's do it for my birthday since I'm not going to be going out that night, obviously.
That's a pretty cool historic place to jam at. What's the coolest place you guys have played at? Who's the coolest person you've played with?
Oh, wow.
California
or just in general.
Whatever.
I like really small towns. Like
if you played with Led Zeppelin in another country, I mean that counts.
Well, there's this little spot up in outside of Seattle that we always hit. It's called Leavenworth. It's a little German tourist town, and everything is written in German, and it's like
all the buildings look like they're
yeah,
from
and there's this little spot that we play up there. It's called the Moochin House,
and it's
just awesome beer and awesome good times, and people just go in for Seattle on the weekends, and it's a party. And
Oktoberfest is all year long.
Well, isn't beer and lager spelt the same in German as it is in English?
It's awesome. Yeah, but I think that's probably
one of you guys' favorite spots to do, huh?
It was really cool. The locals were just really welcoming to us, and we got to meet everybody, literally everybody, because it's such a small town.
Small, and it's crazy too. It's like if you say you're from Southern California, for some reason they just
superstars, huh?
I don't know why. I'm just like,
they melt. Is that what you're saying?
everywhere around the U.S.
Well, that's very cool. So the guy comes up, I'm the bartender, the town sheriff, the mailman, and the fire chief.
That's just a test.
That was his Southern California.
That was his family.
We met the waiter, who his dad was the town's contractor, and his mom was the school teacher. Or no, she worked at the main hotel there.
And she was a school teacher.
So
and he worked
like,
at the fire department.
Yeah, we're going to throw a shout-out. His name's David. What's up, David?
David! Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on and jamming for us. We're going to hang out, jam a little more after the show. We'll get some cool videos for some bonus tracks. The website, one more time, where people can go.
200westmusic.com. That's 200westmusic.com.
Thanks so much, guys. Great job.
Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it, guys. And once again, all of our listeners out there, if you want to check out 200 West, we'll have links through our Facebook, and we're going to record a couple of videos of them playing a couple songs now. You're going to be able to check
maybe
out
we can get them to
on our Facebook so you could get the whole live experience yourself.
Totally.
And figure out where to go meet up with them. So.
Maybe we can get them to jam us off into oblivion to the end of the show here. Well, hey, folks, I want to thank Mike Alessi, great guest. Good luck to him at the Monster Energy Cup in the upcoming Supercross season. Don't forget to listen to Paul Smith Radio Show coming up next here and Lion's Tent Radio Show after that. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for coming here.
Thank me for coming here. That's right. Oh, and
thank you, too. Thank you all. Everyone's so beautiful, man. Folks, we'll see you next week on Edge.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Todd Bryant. For tonight, we've got a slight chance of evening showers and a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. The lows around 54. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow. Some of those storms producing small hail. A mostly cloudy sky. high near 67. Showers and thunderstorms continuing Thursday night with clouds at a low around 54. Lingering morning showers into Friday, partly sunny, high at 66, sunshine and 82 Saturday. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
National brand-name food conglomerates are coming a cropper over California's Proposition 37. Actually, it's a double cropper. First, they're frantically scrambling to defeat this citizens' initiative, which would establish a state right-to-know labeling requirement on any food with genetically manipulated organisms in it. The giants fear that consumers, damn you, will reject products containing risky GMOs, so they want to keep such contents a secret. Since the California market is huge, passage of a labeling law there would effectively become a national provision. Thus, the corporations are mounting a massive PR campaign against Prop 37. But, oops, this media blitz is causing a second cropper for them by revealing way more about their conglomerated empires than they want people to know. Another of their carefully constructed consumer frauds is that many multinationals have quietly bought up dozens of popular organic food firms, but they've kept their conglomerate name off the labels, hoping that customers will think the organic brands are still scrappy independent businesses. Now, though, the public is learning that Kashi Organics, for example, is a subsidiary of Kellogg.